Today we're going to be in Psalm 92, so if you want to open your Bibles there, we're going to go through part of one of the Psalms, one of the poems within the Bible. And keep your finger there, we're going to read it together in a moment, but I thought to prepare you. Before we do that, I want to make you a promise from the stage, I know. Some of you, if you apply what you hear today, years from now, you'll look back to this moment and say, this was when God started something very, very special in your life. Now, this is not an overstatement. This is the promise. If you will apply what we're talking about today, I promise you it will change your life. Let me open up this message by sharing a little story. I met a couple this summer that showed up on our church one Sunday morning. And in our initial interactions, they mentioned that they were looking for a new home church to attend. They'd moved from out of town about a year and a half ago, and they wanted a place to go to church. Somewhere in their local community, they kept saying that they wanted to go to church. They wanted to go to church. They hadn't gone anywhere for over a year, but now they were shopping for something that they liked and somewhere that had what they wanted. They felt the need to go to church. Go to church. You ever been there? I love that part in our family. We love to go to church. But as they continued their conversation, it was apparent that they weren't looking for a family to belong to. They weren't looking for a place to worship and serve. As they continued, I realized that what they were really looking for was prayer. It was prayer. Their marriage was suffering. Their oldest was doing drugs. They had financial burdens. They didn't really like the jobs that they were working in. They didn't really like the whole house they lived in. Nothing was satisfying to them. And they didn't come because they wanted to participate in something. They came to receive something. And God had directed them to our church. Specifically, they came here on a Sunday morning. And I was privileged to pray with them. I was privileged to lead them through that there could be more and there is more. That God has more in store for them. But I want you to know something. God has more in store for you, more than just going to church. They came and they received what they needed, and I pray every day that they will one day come back again. And they kept using that phrase, we just want to go to church. Just go to church. The one they kept repeating in that conversation. And it struck me, it was like, well, we just want to go to the movies. I just want to go to a hockey game. I just want to go to church one Sunday so that void in my life got checked. It got filled. But God's highest calling for you as a follower of Christ was not to go to a church. Not to go to a building or watch a service. But instead to be conformed to the image of Christ. We believe that when we repent of our sins, we love and follow Jesus and become more like him every day, not just go to church, but instead we want to be planted in the church, to be the church, a light shining into a dark world. As I talk about this, the going versus the planted, where does this language come from? Well, the psalm we're going to look at today, Psalm 92. If you want to read it with me, we're going to start at verse 12. This is what it says. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. Let's talk about this passage for a few minutes. It starts with they're going to grow like a palm tree and like a cedar. They're going to flourish. You ever thought about that word flourish before? What does flourish mean? The word flourish isn't really one that we use a lot in everyday language. At least I don't, right? If you came up to me this morning, you're like, hey, David, how you doing? I'm not going to be like, well, actually, to be honest with you, I'm flourishing. It would just sound funny. It's not a word we use. But it is a word that most of us understand. Flourishing is really a great image of what happens when you're planted. Flourishing, it means thriving, it means growing, it means full of blessing, it means having spiritual growth. Your life is prospering. And then the psalmist, he compares it to two different trees, like the cedar and like the palm. Cedar trees. Now, I'm not talking about the hedge that people plant around their yards. Cedar trees, like the ones that grow in the forest, that become very big. And depending on where you are in the world, they can even get bigger than they are around here. Cedar trees, they're good-looking trees. They smell nice. We make furniture out of them. And when Solomon built God's temple, he made the columns, the posts, and the beams of the roof out of cedar, because his building was designed to last for centuries. We're being compared to flourishing like a cedar. But the psalmist also compares us to a palm. Now, palm trees, they're majestic. They're tall. You could picture in your mind in the middle of a desert and an oasis. The branch of a palm tree, it's symbolic of triumph and victory. The Corinthian Olympic Games, whenever someone would win the games, they would be presented with the palm branch. Congratulations, you're the champion. It was the gold medal. When Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem, it was known as the triumphal entry. And they, here comes the king, and they waved palm branches and put them on the ground. Here comes the king. Both of these trees, the cedar and the palm, they're evergreens. They're green all year long. There's life, there's strength, there's victory, and there's fruit. So today, how are you doing? I'm flourishing. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. I'm growing. The godly will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. And then the next line in the psalm, it says, planted in the Lord's own house, they flourish in the courts of our God. Scripture doesn't say those who are just going to church will flourish. It's those who are planted in the house of the Lord that will flourish. And I love that imagery. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. That's encouraging to me as every year passes by. They're going to declare that the Lord is just. He is my rock. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they're flourishing. They're connected. They're emotionally engaged. They're making a difference. They're fulfilled. They're flourishing. When you're planted, your roots go deep. Jeremiah 17:8, it's a companion verse to this. It says a lot of the same thing. And here's what it reads. They're like trees that are planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by heat or worried by long months of drought. When the roots grow deep, they're not bothered, not wilted. When the heat's on and they go through these trials, They're not dying from the drought because they're connected to a water source that is greater than any problem that's on the surface. The roots grow deep. I don't know if you knew this, but redwood trees, they're the tallest trees, the tallest living thing on the whole planet. They can literally grow to be 30 stories tall. That's a huge height. They can be up to 3 stories tall. Wide. It's incredible. And they do this because their root systems go out hundreds of feet. They go 100, 150 feet down into the ground. And what happens is this. You've You've got this 130-story high, tall tree with roots that go this way. And next to it, you have another 30-story high, tall tree with roots that go this way. And their roots intertwine. Beneath the ground, where nobody sees, there's this support system that sustains the strength and the growth of the trees above the ground. This is what we need in the body of Christ. You and I, we need each other. So if someone were to ask you, what would you say? Would you say you were planted and flourishing? Or would you say, well, honestly, I'm spiritually dry right now. Instead of saying I'm thriving emotionally, some would say, well, I'm emotionally withering. Instead of being connected relationally, some would say I'm relationally barren. Instead of saying I'm prospering financially with breathing room to be a blessing to others, so many are saying I'm frustrated, I'm hurting, I'm restrained. Instead of being fulfilled spiritually, making a difference, full of joy, so many are saying, I'm still searching, reaching, longing for hope, hoping for that thing, that relationship, that job, that whatever it is I don't have that would fulfill what I'm missing on the inside. And often these are the people that come through the doors and say, I go to church, but I'm not flourishing. And I hope you're beginning to understand that the going to church isn't the same as being planted in a church. There's a real difference. For example, some people, if they go to church, they might have said this morning. I don't know if it was a conversation in your home. Some homes start like this. They go, hey, honey, are we going to go to church today? Like, I was kind of thinking we had a busy summer and we were away a lot and school started this week for the kids. We can kind of get back into our normal rhythm. Maybe this week we should go to church this week. And listen, those are great things. I love those conversations that produce an action. But when you're planted, that's not the conversations that you have anymore. You don't have to ask, should we do this morning? If you're planted, church isn't a destination to which you attend. The church is who you are. We don't ask ourselves, are we going to go to church today? That's not really a negotiable thing if you're planted. In my family, we never say, well, are we going to go to church today? I mean, yes, partly because I'm the pastor and I have to show up. But honestly, why would the expectation to be any different to anyone else? It's not a destination to which we attend. It's an identity that's inside of us. It's who we are. So we know that we will always be gathering with God's people in any chance we get, especially on Sundays. To give you a little bit more reality, we went on vacation this summer. We decided we are going to figure out this passport thing, buy some passports from the government, get them all in, cross the border kind of thing, just to make sure that we, you know, at least we've got the paperwork done right. And in our vacation, we specifically hunted down and found a church to go and participate with them. It was a goal of our family on our vacation because we don't go to church. We're planted in the church. And we had an opportunity to go and speak life into another family, into another congregation that is doing the same things as us. So we showed up on a Sunday morning and we said, here I am, Jesus. Who can I pray with? Who can I serve? How can I help this church grow? Who in a relationship can I get deeper with? To these people we didn't even know. In fact, our church, our kids, they cry on the Sundays that we can't go to church. It ruins their week. I never go to my kids and I'm like, hey, kids, do you feel today we should eat? Do you think today we should eat? Or maybe, I don't know. Are we going to eat or not? We don't do that. None of us do that. We know that we need to eat, so we eat when we're hungry. Even the Greek word that they used in the Bible, translated now as church, has a great meaning. The Bible uses this word, ecclesia. I don't know if you've heard it before, ecclesia. Ecclesia, what it means is, well, really two things. The first meaning for ecclesia is assembly or gathering. The ecclesia, the assembly or gathering. If you listen to a preacher online, if you're like I'm a John MacArthur guy, I listen to him every week, or I'm a Bill Johnson guy, like I love listening to Bill Johnson, like that is good. I recommend that you listen to some good, strong biblical teaching, even on the internet. But that's not the same as being planted in the house of the Lord. In the same way, I don't have a relationship with my children through a voice message over the phone. Like, I want them assembled in my house, especially with teenagers. You come home for dinner because we are going to be in this family. You come home because I'm the father and I love it when my family is gathered together and we can share and love and fight and grow. It's the assembly, the gathering. But the word ecclesia, it also has a second meaning, and I want us to understand this. The first part of the word, if we were to break it up, I don't know how you pronounce it by itself, but it means out of, ek, out of. And then the second part, the ecclesia, the kaleo, it means called. So the word put together, jammed together in their language, it really means the called out ones. The assembly of called out ones. In other words, we gather together to be unified. We gather together to honor God. We gather together to corporately hear the word of God, to worship and praise. We gather to use our gifts. But as we're strengthened, it's not what happens inside the church, inside the family gathering. It's that we are the church, and from there we go out into the world. We gather together to be sent out. Let me give you two scenarios. Think about that story from the beginning today of a couple that came in. Someone comes church shopping, they're going to church for the first time, and they're like, so I came, and I didn't expect what was to happen. There was this song, and all that song just spoke to me. Or maybe the message was just exactly what I needed to hear that day. Or someone was so nice to me. They loved me, and even though it felt so guilty, I was loved and I was accepted. I came feeling empty on the inside, and I recognized that I had a spiritual need, so I called out to Jesus, and my life has changed. My life has changed. But then they're given a choice. And over and over and over again, I've seen two drastically different outcomes from this choice. Many come to church, but they don't ever really connect with other believers. They never really take on the mission of the church for themselves. They still go to church, but they watch the worship. There's no real contribution. There's no real giving. There's no real serving. There's no real ownership behind it. They're still going to church every week, but 3 years later, this is what you see. And almost every time, it's a rarity for something else. They'll be here for Easter or Christmas Eve and special events, maybe when there's free food at the wonderful events. But their marriage is suffering. Their kids might be doing drugs. They have financial burdens. They don't really like their jobs or their house. Nothing is satisfying to them. In other words, they're not flourishing. Yeah, they still might be saved, but they're not flourishing. I've also seen people make a different choice. When they first come to church, the same situation. The message speaks to me, the song, the person, God answers prayer. I need Jesus, and they surrender their life to him. They choose salvation. And then with their decision from there, they decide they're going to be connected. They develop some relationships. They step out and say, I'm going to find someone to help me in this journey. someone else is praying for them, and they're praying for someone else too, and they recognize that God's given them gifts. And instead of just going to church, they use their gifts in the church. And suddenly the church isn't a destination that they attend, it's an identity that they embrace. I'm a vibrant part of the family of God, and their roots grow deep. And suddenly, when life's not perfect, because it's not always great, but when the storms come, the tree that they are is now planted, and it can withstand the storms because their roots go deep. And we stay connected to God and His family. There's a big difference between going to a building to attend an event and being planted in the house of God. So here's what I can promise you. I can promise you this. I promise you this week that you will face opposition. You will face a trial of some kind. It might be big, it might be small. You'll have a struggle, you'll have a setback. You might even interact with a crazy person, right? You will face some sort of opposition. And if you face it alone, you're going to be more vulnerable. We need the family of God. I need you. And you need me. I can't tell you all the different things that our church family has meant to us. The ones that have been praying for us over and over again. This has been a tough year with lots of tears, but we're strong. We're blessed. We're encouraged because the roots that we have, they're being supported by your roots. We need one another. Your roots to go grow deep. My roots to grow deep. Deep roots produce fruit. Well, like the fruit of the Spirit. And when you're planted, all these good things come up. They're produced even if you're in a difficult time, even if you're in a difficult season. Love still comes out. Joy still comes out in the middle of this trial. You consider it pure joy whenever you face these trials, these difficult times, because you're planted and God is doing something special in you. And then we recognize that these fruits, they're not just for me. That your love blesses other people and your joy is contagious and your peace is attractive, your faithfulness builds relationships, and suddenly you realize I'm planted. I'm making a difference. Some of you, I don't know if you know how to be planted. You've been transplanted and uprooted for so long. How? Pastor David, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know how to be planted. Well, just take a little step and try. Just pray for somebody. Just give to somebody. Just make a difference. Join a program and give leadership to it. Join another group and participate in it. Find someone else and say, can we do coffee? Make the initiative. Be the beginning. Be the voice of encouragement. Just come serve somewhere. Like maybe there's a sixth grade boy and you would have them look up to you and say, I don't have a dad at home, but you can be like a dad to me. Just welcome somebody who looks different, who says, I was so afraid to come, but you loved me and you made me feel welcome here. And then one day you'll notice where you're away for a week and someone in your group reaches out to you and says, whoa, where were you? We missed you. Is everything okay? And you realize that with these baby steps of just starting to participate somewhere with someone, you realize that I'm gaining roots in this place. This isn't just a place I go anymore. This is family. I'm needed here. God wants me to do what He created me to do. I am known. I am loved. I am planted in the house of God. And you recognize, just like in communion, I'm not just saved from my sins because I choose to love and follow Jesus. I'm saved for the glory of God, to make a difference in this world. You see, there's such a difference between going to church and being planted in the church, in the house of the Lord. Just like Psalm 92 says. So, who is it that flourishes? A tree planted in the Lord's own house. If you would like to get planted in our church here, to find out more how you can use your gifts, come start a conversation with us. The people we brought up here that were discussion leaders, even the ones that came before that are all part of leading programs, these are the people who know. They know how to be planted. That's why we brought them up here. These are the ones. Come and talk to us. Come talk to Pastor Danny or I. We would love to show you what it looks like to be planted. We want to get to know you. We want to hear your spiritual story, because everybody starts from a different place. We want to help you find that place to connect. We want you to feel welcome. We want this to be your home. We want you to know that you are making a difference by following God's calling. God has so much for you. He wants you to flourish. So how are you doing? Are you flourishing? Are you thriving? Life's not perfect, but my roots are deep. My faith is strong. My brothers and sisters are praying for me. I'm needed. I'm loved. I'm part of something. I don't go to a building. I am the church. I am God's ambassador in this world. I assemble and then I go out strengthened. I'm planted in the house of the Lord. I'm thriving. And I pray today, I pray that each one of us gets to experience that by starting, by growing where God has planted us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would do what I cannot do. God, that you would move hearts. God, give us a desire to be part of your church, part of your calling in making a difference in this world. I know there are seasons where we feel dry and nothing is working and we're trying harder and harder, and some of us have grown weary and we don't know what to do next. God, I thought I was planted. So would you remind us again who you are? Would you connect us again with your Holy Spirit? Would you connect us again with other believers who might even be sitting right beside us? Would you give us a desire to be part of your church? To not just come, not just do the due diligence and the discipline of showing up, but instead that we would be planted. That we would say, this is my family. I am part of the called out ones. I will come to the gathering and I will do what you called me to do. So Jesus, this is something that well, it's like the boy with the two fishes and the five loaves. We come and offer the meager offering that we have. And today we ask you to multiply it, to strengthen us with the roots of the others around us, to transplant us into the house of our Lord, where we can flourish. So whatever trials and struggles we're going through, God, help us to turn to each other. Help us to bring them to you. Fill us with your Spirit, so that is possible, not by our might and strength, but by your power. In Jesus' name.